Have you ever lost anything in the church?
Oh, yeah.
Here in the Red Brick Church? What kind of things have you misplaced?
Glasses.
Glasses, sure. Somebody else? Anybody lose something?
Umbrella.
Okay, umbrella. Yeah, good. By the way, thanks for that. I like that. That's a nice blue color. I like it. And anybody else lose keys?
Charlie's sweater
was missing for a week. Yes, and actually, I think Melissa may have left her jacket here from last week. You lose something?
Hats.
Wow, okay. Somebody else? Losing something?
Dishes?
Really? Oh, the list goes on. Umbrella, sure. Yeah? Well, here in the Red Brick Church, where would you go if you lost your glasses? Or you think you left them here? Where would you go?
Back here.
You go back here? Yes, you would. You would return to the scene of the crime. But where would you look here for something that was lost? That's smart. That's super smart. I didn't think of that, but absolutely that. Right. So if you sat up here, you wouldn't be looking back there. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. That's right. Chuck, you here, buddy? Oh, yeah. Who's manning the door? You guys can't sit down on the job. Okay, let me go get it. We have a lost and found, don't we, back here?
Yes.
We do.
It's on the table.
Hang on a second. I'm still here. On the table. I can't find the lost and found. It's lost and found. Okay, I got it.
It's just a smart answer.
Oh, no. Yeah, here it is. I found the lost and found. Now, this is our official lost and found. And we know that because it says... And actually, this is actually just the found things. This is what we found. Adidas hat? You want to know the size, right? Okay, fine. I can't tell. But it looks like a good one. Adidas hat? No, nobody? Okay. A scarf? That's very nice. And if no one claims this, Roseanne, I'm going to make sure you get it for the Christmas bazaar. Anybody? Not yours? Okay. It is. It's very nice. We can't remember who might have worn that.
Oh.
Oh, okay. You have to check, Marge McVeigh. Oh, here we have a small computer game. Huh? All right, who's doing this during the sermon? Playing games. I know it was you. Don't know who that is. And we have, of course, a lost and found box, because in the lost and found, you need a lost and found. And here, I'm telling you, sunglasses. These yours? It has like silver on the side? Okay, all right. That's right. This is part of my job, making sure the lost and found get restored to their owners. Another pair of sunglasses. Nice red sunglasses. Anybody? Jane? Okay, keep going here. Oh, reading glasses. Somebody need reading glasses today? Oh, you know what? They do? Whoa. Someone with not so good eyes. You know what? They probably forgot they left them here, and they're looking from somewhere else. Here's a little bag, a purse. Nice. It's very cute. We have all sorts of things here. Wrist thing from Camp Saranac. Camp Saranac. Is that Saranac Lake in New York? Oh, that's a nice little wrist thing here. Somebody lost a baggie. Could be. It's possible. Oh, and some beautiful gloves. All right, well, let me have the pleasure of restoring something lost to their owner.
I hate wasting
it. All right, and here we have some gloves. These are really nice gloves. These might be the kind of gloves that have that grip on them. See, that has that little... Nobody? Gloves? All right. And here we have a key.
Is that the church?
I don't know. Could be any office key. I think it's an office key, actually. Okay, there's your key. And finally, some jewelry. It's, you know, probably 5-carat diamond. And don't drop it down the air conditioning vent. We have, actually, it's just one earring. It's a hoop. Hoop earring, anyone? No? Okay, fine. And, a little bracelet. Little bracelet. This looks nice. It does look nice. Nobody? Oh, my gosh. So all we did was return an empty baggie? All right. Well, Chuck will make sure all these things get back up into there, and everyone knows now it's on the shelf there, and it's in a little red box that looks a lot like this, and it says, what does it say on it?
Lost and found.
So Jesus is with his disciples, and have you ever had a day like where you feel like everybody's complaining about you? Have you ever, sort of, you might call it one of those days. Have you ever said that to yourself? Can you say that with me? One of those days. And so Jesus is having one of those days. Because it seems like everything he does, all the amazing things he does, the people he heals, the children he welcomes, the older people that he helps get along, heals their eyesight, heals the fact they can't walk. He even raises people from the dead. For all the good that Jesus does is he teaches people about, it isn't about the healings, it's about a new kingdom, it's about a new way of living. That Jesus doesn't want people to join his club and just get selfies taken with him all the time. Hey, Jesus is my buddy, woo! No, Jesus is actually around wanting us to lead our life differently. And he showed us the way. And so Jesus is just doing all the good, all the amazing things that he does. But he's having one of those days. And so the religious people, you know, the people that people assume have a perfect relationship with God, they know all the right rules and they follow them, they're the people that you ordinarily would defer some degree of honor or defer some degree of respect. Even more than just respecting everybody, the people that were religious leaders, you would just defer a wee bit more honor on them. And it's these people, the religious leaders, that somehow just, well, maybe they were having one of those days too. Because all they could think of doing was criticizing Jesus. Sometimes we have days like that, right, where people just, they misinterpret our good intentions. We try really hard to complete the puzzle before dinner, and we just can't do it. Or we misplace our wallet or our keys. We have our senior moments. You don't even need to be a senior to have those moments. There are things, sometimes you walk out of the grocery store and you walk the wrong way to a car, forgetting that you parked in the other aisle. There are things like this in our life, things that we have misplaced, the things that we once valued that now have no value, or it would seem it has no more value because we have stopped looking for it. Sometimes these things are in the form of dreams. Sometimes these are things like when someone might ask you, so what did you want to be when you grew up, when you grow up? And sometimes that question, while intriguing, and while every 12 or 13-year-old kid in school has an assignment, ask parents, you know, or caregivers around you what they wanted to be when they were your age. Sometimes, although we might be quick to offer a response, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I really did want to. And it actually, instead of being a moment of remembrance and joy, it could be a little depressing. Because we remember back when people looked at us when we were in the baby carriage going, you know, oh, look, what a beautiful baby. And at one point along the line, they stopped doing that. And so we feel a little lost. We maybe lost our way. We might have thought we got off track. But on Jesus, he came for on purpose. He was God's love in action. He came to show us a better way. And even more, he went on the cross to be and take our place so that we could have that eternal relationship with God that nobody can take away. Jesus said, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Go ahead, try. Nobody can. And so the disciples, you and me, the followers of Jesus, have this confidence. But when Jesus walked on this particular day, the religious people who you think would be his cheerleaders were actually his biggest detractors. They were the hecklers in the room. They were the ones that pointed fault every step of Jesus' way. And here's what they said. This is the ultimate. This is the ultimate criticism of Jesus. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's it. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. He didn't break any Torah laws. He didn't mistreat a pet. He didn't disrespect someone, even inadvertently. He didn't do anything that we would call a sin. When Jesus was on the cross, even one of the thieves that hung there with him said, "Why are you making fun of this guy? He didn't do anything wrong. At least we deserve to be here." No truer words have ever been heard. Jesus is like us in every way, but knew no sin. And so the religious leaders are casting aspersions and detracting people from what Jesus did. He eats with sinners and welcomes them. Now, the disciples are probably saying, "Yeah, we're sinners, and we're so glad Jesus stopped by where we live, stopped by where we work there by the Sea of Galilee. We're real glad that Jesus saw me up in the tree and invited me to lunch." But the religious leaders were so full of themselves, thinking that they had already arrived, that their club already had maximum members. "No one else need apply. I have a perfect group. We meet at the synagogue on Saturdays. Everything we believed in since we were a small child, we've never varied. Even though the times have changed, we refuse to take the good that we've learned and apply it in a new way. We will just be as rigid as we need to be and protect the legacy of what we already know, instead of letting what you already know inform a new way of doing things that's constantly fresh and life-giving." They held on to the things that were death-giving. And to this context, this Jesus who's having one of those days, knows exactly like you're one of those days. Well, on his one of those days, he decided to tell a story. And he told the story, who said, "Which of you who had 100 sheep, losing one of them, does not leave the 99 and go after the one that was lost until he finds it?" Now, we probably have overheard this story. In fact, the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the next one that follows in Luke's chapter 15 section here is what? The parable of the lost son, right. And so we have the lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, and they're all addressing this criticism that the religious leaders, who think they've got all the answers, they're saying he welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so to this parable, imagine, though, Jesus really turns it upside down. I know it's a familiar story. All three of these are familiar stories. It's probably the three best-known stories about Jesus in all time. But Jesus, just imagine, let's say we have 100 people here today. And let's say one of us goes missing. Now, we're all shepherds. We found out, though, that of our 100 sheep, one of them went missing. Jesus says that you would leave the 99 you have and go out after the one. And that, if you really think about it, I mean, we know that that's what Jesus said, and we're very familiar with the story. But think about it as a shepherd. Really? I think if there were actually shepherds in the crowd here that day, and Jesus said, "Yeah, which of you, if you had 100 sheep and one went missing, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the stray?" And they're saying, "Are you kidding me? There's no way in the world I'd leave 99% of my herd. Why would I go out after the one that's missing? Are you crazy? And besides, that one that got away is probably hurt. It could even be dead. There are wolves in the wilderness. It's not safe out there for sheep." And so Jesus is using a story. It's a parable. It's a story. Of a story where if you had 100 sheep and one was missing, 1% was missing. He says a good shepherd would go and leave the 99 at some risk in order to go out and find the one missing. And I'm thinking if we were really there, we'd say, "No, Jesus, there's no way I would do that. I'm a good shepherd. I would just say the one goes. And now we have 99. Yay! And if another one goes missing, 98. Let's keep those 98 safe. Let's get them out of the wilderness. Let's 97? Oh, bummer. Well, if you kept that up at the end of maybe, I don't know, 80, 90 days, months, maybe years, how many sheep would you end up with? I got my one sheep. I'm real excited. Nobody's going to take it away. Come on, Bambi. And you just sort of walk along and you look, oh my God, where'd my sheep go? Oh, well, no more sheep. And then I don't know what you become, auto mechanic. You sell deli food. I don't know what you do then, but you're no longer a shepherd. Because a shepherd, a good shepherd, and Jesus did use that adjective here, good shepherd, not just a shepherd. Maybe not a shepherd like I would be or you might be, but a good shepherd would say, no, every person counts. And if one goes missing, there is some degree of risk. You have to leave the 99 because 100 is 100. Jesus said, everyone to the Father when he prayed shortly before the cross, he said, and God, every person you have given me, I still have. Not one was lost. All that you have given me to do, I have done. So Jesus is talking about being a good shepherd and trying to recalibrate who we think is expendable. Because at the end of the day, nobody's expendable. Because if one person is expendable, everybody's expendable. And so Jesus is inviting us to sort of turn our assumptions upside down. He says, sure, having 100 is good, 99, well, not quite 99% good, 98%, 97, on down. But you see, with that kind of a math, then we're going to end up with no one. So I want you to know today that Jesus counts and includes you in the sheep. That you matter to God. And that even though we might feel like we're in the wilderness, we might even feel a little bit lost. Because in the story, you would think that that same sheep who is now found comes back and rejoices, yay, I have my 100 back again. Well, who's to say that that person might not run off again next week? That one sheep, that's not one of those sheep, I'm telling you, every week, gotta watch them like a hawk. And so that one sheep might go off again. Maybe somebody else. You say, yeah, it was a lot of fun when I was out on my own. Yeah, and Jesus came back and got me. And so maybe he took a couple extra sheep with him one day. But the shepherd, he says, the good shepherd will never let one of them. Two got away? Let's go right now. And so that kind of urgency, God applies to you. You matter to God. And no matter where you feel you are in his sheep pen, maybe a little by the gate, maybe in the middle, maybe you've darted off a little bit on your own for a wee bit. Kind of think God's not interesting to me anymore. Well, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus will never, ever, ever even let one sheep out of his sight. But there's a reverse side to this. Because what are the 99 sheep thinking when Jesus leaves, or the good shepherd leaves and goes out after the one? Where's the shepherd? Where's the shepherd? Who's taking care of me? Here I am, minding my own business. I didn't go run off. I've been here all day long and didn't bother a soul. And here that one sheep, I told you about him from the very beginning. He was nothing but troublemaking sheep. And now he's off and he's taking our good shepherd with him. We'll probably never see either of them again. And so sometimes inside Jesus' herd, there can be a little discontent when we think the shepherd always has his or her eye on someone who's missing, almost overlooking the ones who are there. Roll call. Okay, 98, 99. Okay, be right back. And so now the shepherd's off again, because 100 is 100, and everyone matters. And so a good shepherd knows that you have to train the sheep enough where they're not all going to go run off, and you get other shepherds to help you with shepherd, so that the shepherd, the good shepherd, can always be ready to have their eye on what's not there, adding more sheep to the pen, increasing the capacity of the herd, having their eye on everyone because everyone matters. And if God could have some sort of electronic tracker on you, which actually kind of does even better, doesn't even run out of a battery, that God knows exactly where you are and will always come for you. He's coming for you now. That God, the good shepherd, Jesus, is here saying, I know your name. I know what you smell like. I know what you look like. I know your dreams and the ones you had when you were 12. I know the gifts that you have. I know the resources you have. I know the needs that you have. I know everything about you. You're one of my sheep. And sheep are sheep. But to extend this a little more, sometimes our organizations, including churches, can be so content with the ones we have that we begin operating like the ones we have are the only ones that are ours. And our needs in our own life, that the needs that we have in our own life are sometimes so sufficient for the day that we can't possibly think of improving, adding, changing, or modifying in any way our capacity to care for people or things, concerns, that we're just so full. We can't handle another thing. And all of us have had one of those days. Despite our best efforts, our good intentions, sometimes it just doesn't work out the way we want. That may leave some of us unhappy and some of us despairing. Others could just be, you know, just kind of encourage us to keep trying harder, which is the preferred response, I think, in that. But for us in our home, us as friends, how many friends have I thought, you know, years before would just be good friends, and I just lost track. You can't keep track of everybody. But this week, I want you to think about anything in your life. Who's the one in your life? Or the ones, you know, apostrophe S. Who are those ones maybe in your life that you just lost track of? And it's not your responsibility to, you know, drag them by the neck back into the herd. But is there not a phone call you can make? Or maybe an email you could send? Or maybe a note in the mail? Is there a way you could check, maybe indirectly, of checking with a friend who knows a friend who knows a friend who could might check on them? So that you can let God know, you know what? You take care of me and you never let me out of your sight. I wonder in what way I could be your eyes and ears and maybe just check in on somebody else. And sometimes inside the pen, we forget that there are needs outside the pen. So we think all of our needs are being met, which and if they are, that's awesome. It's probably not true, but it's better to have our needs met, and most of us probably have most of our needs met. But there, if you think of yourself as that lost sheep, the one still in the wilderness, alone, what needs do they have? You say, I don't know. I don't really think about that. Well, this week, I wonder, who could be your one? Who could be your two or three? Is there not a concern in your community? Maybe not even make it about a person. Is there a concern in your community or in your nation or around our world that you could just say, you know, God, I've just kind of lost track of that. So the next month, I'm going to pay attention and just try to learn a little bit more about that particular need and do something about it. Write a letter, send a note, talk to friends about it. One of those things is, say, on our picnic in 2 weeks, or our harvest dinner in 3. You know, the wonder will come. But is there not somebody, maybe one, who could, hey, come with me. It'd be great. Be fun. Free food. Because people like to be with the sheep. As long as the sheep are friendly. And as long as the sheep are caring. And so the disciples probably left this meal scratching their heads, saying, I don't know very many good shepherds, but I'm sure glad Jesus is one. And I've probably neglected a lot of people, concerns, interests, parts to my life, tending to your spiritual life instead of just your physical or emotional life, or maybe hyper-focusing on your physical needs and kind of letting all the other ones go. That's a lost and found situation too. So this story reminds us that we should care for the things that in our life we think they're a little bit lost. We've just let them go. But God wants us to pick them back up again. So if you've lost your sunglasses, you know where to go, right? And maybe in your house you have a lost and found. And maybe you found some things that aren't even yours. They've just been attracted over the years. You just got this huge thing. You want to bring them for Roseanne and the good ladies that are planning our next bazaar. If you have food that you don't need, you say, well, I'm not hungry. Well, no, I'm glad. I hope you're not hungry. I'm never hungry. And so by that I mean I'm always eating. But there are people that do, so maybe you'll run your kitchen cupboards and maybe you'll find that one thing, that one shelf, that those one item, that 10 or 20 items that maybe you want to bring for our deacons to help you distribute to somebody in need. Or maybe you don't have any kids to care for, but you know we have many children here in our church extended family. You'd say, well, yeah, I don't have any kids to care for. Well, maybe you want to adopt a kid. Maybe you want to say, well, I wonder what I could do to make a kid feel welcome. You have any treats at home you might want to bring? Watch the sugar. But is there something? And so the disciples heard Jesus not only live the life, but he resisted the one of those days to the point where he could say, everybody matters. Religious leaders, even you matter. Everybody matters. Who is your one? And I know for Jesus today, you're his one. Let us pray.